Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. Thanks for tuning in to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast this morning. I'll tell you what, I'm feeling pretty good this morning. I went to the dentist office after quite a period of time, not too long, it'd been about a year, and had my exam, no cavities, no problems with bleeding gums, any of that stuff. I'll tell you what, there's all kinds of things to rejoice about in life. Because not having any dental insurance, that wasn't really an exciting thought to have to get cavities filled and everything else. So I'm just thankful for that. That may sound silly on Sunday morning, but hey, we need to find joy in all kinds of things in life, don't we? We are going to continue our series on forgiveness. We've talked about forgiveness and God, and now we want to start focusing on forgiveness and others. Forgiveness and others. So let's turn back to our main text in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. And as I've encouraged you and challenged you all through this series, I'm going to continue to do it. This is a great verse to memorize if you haven't. It's a great practical verse to keep in your mind because things are going to happen in life. And so Ephesians chapter 4, 32, I want to challenge you to commit it to memory. Here it is. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So as we start talking about forgiving each other, we need to recognize that it is squarely rooted and grounded and has its foundation in the fact that in Christ, God forgave you. And we've already talked about how that all happens and why it can happen and everything else, and that it has to be in Christ. But the idea, again, of forgiving one another is all tied up with the fact that in Christ, God forgave you. That's why we need to have a willingness, a desire to forgive others when they sin against us, just like God was willing to forgive us when we sinned against Him. I hope you understand that principle, because if you don't, it's going to be much more difficult for you to forgive other people. When you have the understanding and know how much you've been forgiven in Christ and how much God has forgiven you, then it becomes a much easier prospect to forgive other people. But in no way is it just easy. Okay, there's no way that forgiveness is just easy. It certainly wasn't easy for God. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to be put to death on the cross to taste death for 3 days before He rose from the dead again to pay the penalty for sin. So forgiveness is not free, it's not cheap, it's not easy, but it is so, so wonderful. And when we're talking about forgiving others, it becomes an essential understanding in our life, because if you and I aren't willing to forgive others, as we'll see in these series of lessons, God's not going to forgive us. And if we refuse to forgive others knowing that we've been forgiven, we're going to live miserable, existences. We're going to have all kinds of guilt and regret and sorrow in our life, even though it might not show on the outside. It's probably going to cause lots of psychological and emotional and spiritual problems in our life when we're not willing to forgive. And that's because God has forgiven us such an incredible, incredible debt that we had gotten ourselves into because of our sin. How in the world could we not be willing to forgive and reconcile with another person that has also especially been forgiven, but even those that have not? Our lives as Christians, as God's people, ought to be characterized by forgiveness. All right, we're going to listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Royal Taylor called Ready, Set, Go. And I hope that as you listen to that, that you'll have the willingness to be ready, set, forgive those that sin against you. Let's listen this morning.
Live so long with my eyes on me. Too deaf to hear, too blind to see. Broken hearts on the city streets, but I can hear that you're calling me to be the hope.
We're back this morning, and if you weren't awake already, I sure hope that after listening to that song, your heart's beating, your toes are tapping, and you're ready to face the day. So let's continue to talk about forgiveness in others. Like we said in the previous session, Ephesians 4:32 says that we're to forgive one another just as in Christ God forgave us. So that's the basis. That's the foundation. That's why we should have a desire, a willingness to forgive others, because God has forgiven us. And we'll talk more about that later. But here's the first thing that we want to consider about this, is that forgiveness, for us to forgive someone else or for them to forgive us, it implies that someone did something wrong. It recognizes that there was some kind of wrongdoing there. Now, maybe it's a greater wrong or a lesser wrong, but in some way or some form, where it was something that someone did to us, or it was something that somebody said to us, or maybe it was just the fact that they ignored us, or whatever it might be. You know, I don't have enough time to go through all of the specifics on this, but being able to forgive or being forgiven means that there has been some kind of wrong done. And that's why forgiveness is not just easy. It's not just, oh yeah, sure, I forgive you. Because somewhere along the line, somebody was wronged, and that hurts. And those hurts, depending on the severity of the wrong, can be very, very, very deep. And so this is a very important subject. It's a very practical subject. It's a subject that we need to understand, because it's going to crop up in all kinds of different relationships between one another. So let's start off by talking about obstacles to forgiveness. Obstacles to forgiveness. Why is it so difficult sometimes to forgive or to be forgiven? Well, sometimes people cop the attitude that the other person doesn't deserve it. They don't deserve to be forgiven. They hurt me so bad. They wounded me so bad. They sinned against me so bad. They don't deserve my forgiveness, and I'm not going to give it to them. Whoa. You cannot think like that as a follower of Jesus, because like we said, the Bible instructs us to forgive one another just as in Christ God forgave us. And we're going to bring this up in another lesson, but again, if we're not willing to forgive others or be forgiven, then God's not going to forgive us. And so we need to just get rid of that obstacle that says the other person doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Did you deserve to be forgiven? Did you deserve to have God forgive you of your sins? No way. And I didn't deserve for God to forgive me of my sins, but he was willing. He did, when by faith I accepted the payment of that debt through what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And then I follow that decision up with being baptized into Christ and to have my sins washed away and to be raised to walk in newness of life. But that obstacle that says they don't deserve it, that needs to go away. Okay? Number two, sometimes pride can be a huge obstacle to forgiveness. And so how does that work? Well, the person says, it's not my fault. I didn't do anything wrong. Don't blame me. It's their fault. It's all about what they did. And I'll tell you what, that's really a dangerous, dangerous attitude to have. Of course, we know that the Proverbs say that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But in this matter of forgiveness, we should never have this proud, arrogant, I didn't do anything wrong. I certainly wasn't to blame for anything. You know, usually in most cases, it takes two to tango. Now, in some, it's not that way, but in a lot of things, it is. But pride can sometimes get in the way. Pride that won't even listen. You remember I said before that when there's a wrong committed, there needs to be a process of, first of all, communication. And we'll talk about that in more detail. But here's what Proverbs 18 and verse 2 says. Proverbs 18:2, it says, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Well, that's the way some people are when it comes to, you know, either forgiving or being forgiven. They don't want to listen to anybody. Oh, I'm not going to listen to anybody. Just delight in airing their own opinion. I didn't do anything wrong. Don't blame me. Well, that certainly is an obstacle to forgiveness. So They don't deserve it. Kick it out. Pride, arrogance, I didn't do anything wrong. Get rid of it. Kick it out. It has no place in forgiving others or even being forgiven. Here's another thing that hinders forgiveness. Ignorance or lack of communication. Okay? You know, maybe the person that offended you or hurt your feelings or did something to you, maybe they don't even know they did it. Now, obviously, that would be on lesser wrongs. You know, it wouldn't be like if somebody popped you in the nose. I mean, certainly you'd know that was wrong. But I'm talking about there are times where we really don't know that we hurt somebody. Okay? And we'll talk about the process of forgiveness and how we're to take care of that. But sometimes it's just ignorance. The other person doesn't know they hurt us. And so don't be so quick to assume that they knew what they were doing. Don't judge their motives, but there has to be communication first. We've got to be able and willing to go and talk about this, whether we were wronged or we did the wrong or somebody's coming and telling us we did something wrong. I mean, there's got to be a process of communication. And if that communication doesn't begin, then nothing's ever going to get resolved. So the ignorance or lack of communication obstacle, that needs to be eliminated. That needs to be taken out of our thinking. Here's another one. Here's another obstacle to forgiveness. Anger or feelings of bitterness or revenge or justice. That boy, you know, I'm going to get them back. I'm going to pay them back for what they did to me. Wow, that's, I mean, obviously in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander along with every form of malice. You see, God knows those things can be a part of our life, but he says we're to get rid of those things. Because anger and rage and revenge and wanting justice, that's not gonna help anyway. In fact, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you know that Romans chapter 12 and verse 17 tells us, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil." Okay, do not repay anyone evil for evil. And then verse 19 says, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord." And so if you've got this idea, well, they did this to me and I'm going to get them back and I'm just angry at them and I'm not going to talk to them. You know, that is just the epitome of foolishness and hard-heartedness and a heart that's not wanting to listen to God. How would you feel if that's the way God would have treated you? Okay, he didn't though, did he? And so we need to make sure not to have any feelings of anger or revenge or take justice into our hands. And also bitterness, jealousy, envy, those are all things sometimes that keep people from forgiving. People get bitter. They don't take care of it right away and it just festers and it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And finally, they don't even want to talk about it. They don't even want to forgive anymore. Their own heart's gotten so bitter, or they're jealous because, like I said, maybe the other person doesn't even know that they did you wrong and they're going about life acting like, no, oh, nothing's wrong, everything's good, and you're sitting over here going, I can't believe they're being that way. I'm jealous. How can they act like nothing's wrong when I'm over here stewing? Okay, well, again, bitterness, jealousy, envy, all of those things can be obstacles. But I want you to listen to this passage from James chapter 3. James chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice, including not forgiving people. I added that. Verse 17 says, But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving. Peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Didn't Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount say, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God"? And so, friends, there's so many obstacles, and I'm sure there's lots more, but that's all we're going to talk about from this aspect of it, that, hey, they don't deserve it. Nope. Pride. Nope. Ignorance or lack of communication. Nope. Anger, revenge, justice. Get rid of it. Bitterness, jealousy, envy. Get rid of it. Get rid of all those things. You don't want there to be any obstacles to forgive someone else or for you to be forgiven. And so please, please make sure that you understand those things. All right, we're going to listen to our next song this morning called "Your Grace is Enough" by Matt Mayer. And I want you to remember that. God's grace is enough for us. Our grace ought to be enough for someone else that has sinned against us or we've sinned against them. We need to have a spirit of grace in this matter of forgiveness and others. Let's listen this morning.
Your grace is enough. Heaven reaches out to us. Your
right, we're back this morning, and again, I sure hope you know how amazing God's grace is. I hope you know that God's grace is enough to cover your sin, to cover your wrongdoing, to give you a hope of everlasting life. And friends, if you're listening this morning and you don't know the peace that passes understanding, if you don't understand the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to pursue that with everything you have, because everything else in the world is just a dead-end street. And yet, in Christ, there's life, as we've talked about so many times before. And it's all because of God's amazing grace, that He wasn't willing for any of us to perish, but He wants us all to repent and come to our senses and turn back to Him as our Creator and as our God and as our Savior. So I really hope so far in this lesson that you've realized that there's lots of different obstacles to forgiveness. It makes it very difficult sometimes, but if we have the right heart, it shouldn't be that hard. If we have the right heart, if we have a heart that's full of the grace and mercy of God, the wisdom that comes from above, like we read from James, if we have that, then it should be much easier to forgive people without all of those obstacles. All right, so let's go ahead and start talking about the process of forgiveness between people, the process of forgiveness. And remember, it is a process, okay? There had to be some kind of wrong that was done, some kind of wrong that was committed. And let me say this, is that, you know, not everything that's done against us is equal in measure. Okay, I think we understand that. There's some things that are way more serious than others. You know, if somebody lied to you or lied about you, that's a much more serious thing than maybe calling you a name that hurts your feelings. Okay, you know, they're both a drag. They're both something that we shouldn't do, but it's something that we have to recognize as we begin this process of forgiveness, so that we can respond in a right way, a scriptural way. And so we're going to look at how to do that and also how to take care of some of those bigger issues. So, hey, thanks for listening this morning. We'd sure love to invite you to come and visit us at the Church at Las Vegas. We are located on 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And we meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and also Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock for prayer and Bible study. Love to meet you. Love to have you come out. Love to hear your questions, concerns about life. Please come and be our guest and learn more about the living God and His Son, Jesus Christ, as we worship together. Thanks so much for listening, and as always, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.